Item 1.0 is open session, call to order. I would like to welcome you all to the Board of Directors meetings for the Student Success Program Nonprofit Board, which operates Odeo Charter School and the Charter Schools of San Diego. I am Len Herring, Chairman of the Board, and I will facilitate this meeting. Let's take a roll call first. When I call your name, please provide the group a brief introduction, if that be necessary, for the benefit of new members or members of the public. Myself, Chairman, here, obviously. Scott Barton.
Present.
Thank you. David.
Board member present.
Present. Tim is excused, so therefore will not be there. And then Eric Schweinfurter.
Present.
Very good. Establishment of a quorum. Mary, is there anybody new to the organization that you'd like to introduce at this time?
I don't think so. Not at this time. Everybody's, okay. I don't want to say they're old, but they're all been here for a while. You know?
Existing staff.
Existing, yes.
Good. Okay. Establishment of a quorum. Item 1.3 established. Do I have a motion to approve item 1.3?
Motion to approve.
A second?
Second, Barton.
Very well. We do have so we will take a roll call for a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
And David?
Aye.
Tim is excused. Eric?
Aye.
We do have approval. I will now ask members to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good. Item 1.5 is the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the item 1.5 with any recommendation from Mary?
Motion Mary, is there anything? Motion to approve Crean without any modification, unless Mary has
very something. Well. Is there anything that you need to add, Mary?
No, recommend approval.
Okay. And I did have a second.
Second, Barton.
Okay, thank you. We will conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
We will, motion passes. Moving on. Public comment. Public comment is items of interest to the public within the scope of Student Success Program support, non-agenda, shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. In meetings held over Zoom, any person who wishes to make a comment on either non-agenda or agenda items will use the raise hand feature in the Zoom to notify the board. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to respond or give direction to staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Each agenda item will have a comment. Each agenda item being commented on will have a minimum of 20 minutes allotted to each non-agenda item with a maximum of 10 minutes. If necessary, the board chair may equivocally decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within the allotted time. Item 2.1, this is a non-agenda public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to a total of 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by myself. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on agenda items on items not on the agenda? Hearing none and seeing no raised hands, we'll move on to 2.2, agenda item comments. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to a total of 20 minutes unless modified by myself. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on any of the agenda items? Not hearing any or seeing any raised hands, we'll move on. Item 3.0 is administrative items. The first is 3.1 California Fair Political Practices Commission Statement of Economic Interest, Form 700 Annual Filing. This is an informational item and reminder to file Form 700. Deadline for the county is the 3rd of April. The San Diego County Clerk of the Board has sent an email with directions to our board members to file the Form 700 electronically via their e-disclosure system. Please contact Angela Neary should you need assistance prior to April the 3rd. Moving on to item 3.2 is governance parental representative postings 2020-2023 on respective school website pages and RCs on January 9th, 2023, deadline to submit application April 10th, 2022. 3.2.1 is O'Dea Charter School and 3.2.2 is the Charter Schools of San Diego. This is an annual publication for vacant parent board representatives. Item 3.3 is ratification of the First Amendment to the lease agreement of APN number 589-164-1400. Lynn, is there a staff report for this particular item?
Oh, okay. I was on mute. Thank you, Admiral Herring. This is the lease for the Woodman Altaview Resource Center for the Charter School of San Diego. The lease was originally acquired in 2016, and we have negotiated a 60-month, five-year lease extension, so which means that we exercise our option to renew. And this is the first amendment to the lease. The term for the lease is it would be starting November 1, 2022 to October 31st, 2027. The total area of the site is 2,625 square feet. Renewal contract base lease cost is $1.55 per square foot per month or $18.60 per square foot per year or per annum. The monthly lease for this site is $4,069 with a triple net of $1,301. The monthly lease cost will therefore be $5,370 for the first year of the renewed contract. Base lease will increase 3% annually, and the annual lease cost for the first year of the renewed contract will be $64,437. The 5 years total contractual obligation is $337,279. Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Mary?
No, thank you.
That's pretty impressive. $1.55 a square foot. That's pretty incredible.
That's rare.
Yeah. But then again, it shows initiative and opportunity for us to be able to do it and make sure the setting is acceptable to students.
We're very good tenants, Admiral.
I know.
Our sites are immaculate. And our students are very much respectful,
yeah,
for the most part. Yes. So, and it's not painful. We find that the teachers have a great deal of cooperation with the students, and so I'd say we're good tenants.
Yeah.
And our landlords say we're good tenants.
I would challenge many to replicate what you're sitting in and what those students see on a daily basis. Really proud of the group. Okay, do I have a motion for approval of item 3.3?
So move, Barton.
And a second, please.
Green second.
Thank you. We conduct a roll call for vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Super. Motion passes. Consider approval of research development and sharing policy, 1972. Mary, can I ask for a report on item 3.4?
Yes. As you're aware, a great deal of what we do within our schools constitutes research. And as time has gone on, we've gotten better and better and more, and we've integrated research more into what we do. In the past, I remember when I worked for the school district, research was going out and looking at what was in the environment, in the literature. We still do some of that, but we found that some of the most fruitful research has been what we learn on our own. And in fact, I was just talking to some of the staff before our meeting. We come up with some very good ideas that deserve to be replicated or considered. At a minimum, they are certainly provocative. They are compliant always. But it was first encouraged to us by someone from the county department of a board. And what a great idea. We really want to further focus on sharing that information in a formal way. Not just somebody walks up the street, but we want to have an opportunity to lay out what our findings are, what our thinking is, and how we move to implement. Staff is used to it because we do it all the time. I just prepared an article for the Baldrige people on innovation, it was on going back the second time around and receiving the second award with Malcolm Baldrige. And much of what we shared was the fact that we had momentum the first time and we were moving toward innovation. And there's a whole continuum of innovation, starting from improvements that you do locally within your organization. We have many of those, going to adjacent, expanding kinds of ideas, innovation, going to innovation which affects sectors, and we've had a tremendous impact on our sector, charter schools, and I can't tell you how many times non-classroom-based hybrid type schools have been replicated according to our model. And then finally, the innovation you usually think of, which is an extraordinary radical kind of impact within the education sector. So anyway, I'll be also in Washington, D.C. in April with some of our people, and I'll be giving a presentation on innovation and the basis, the research, the looking at how we do things, the making them better, testing them, and then modifying. That's all part of it. So we thought that it would be prudent to acknowledge that this was a major direction in our intellectual activity and in our actual day-to-day work, and that we would ask the board, who has from day one encouraged us, supported us, and pushed us in this direction. I think we're in a place now where we can do you proud in terms of some of our publications. But we wanted it very clear that this was a directive that was given by the board and approved by the board and encouraged by the board. So that's what this policy is all about. And it's been thoroughly vetted by everybody. So including you, thank you for your input, Admiral Herring. And so that's what we put before you. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Are there any questions? I do want to say that I'm super happy that we finally get this in writing and made sure that conversation over the past couple of years is now memorialized in a policy in which the board supports this very important endeavor in the development and the charter school movement as a whole. And it makes absolutely certain and makes it clear that the board expects this activity to occur on a regular basis and supports the evolution so that research and development and opportunities for individuals who are so involved are given the support by the organization and encouraged to work these efforts out so that We all benefit from the day-to-day interactions that you are all experiencing and have a part in that can be beneficial to the outcome of the organization. So are there any comments from other board members on this particular effort? Yeah,
this is Barton. I agree with everything you said. Also, that it's for the betterment of education. I mean, it is really important that we lead the way with other charter schools to show a model that has been tremendously successful locally and have more schools, both charter and non-charter schools, public schools, look at the kinds of things that the schools are doing. So I am 100% behind this.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else?
I just want to share, it's encouraging because we try to work closely with board members in other districts. And one of our newly elected people who've already been out here to visit us is interested, and I think I'm not sure if they're scheduled yet, but plan to come back so that we can delve into some of what we're doing with our data and how our data is informing the classroom. And teachers do this all the time. I mean, they take it for granted how they're using data and working with their supervisors to address very specific needs. I mean, each child, not just classroom, but obviously very individualized. And we're happy to share that. So thank you for reviewing this policy.
Okay. Do I have a motion? Do I have a motion for approval of item 3.4?
So moved, Barton.
Very well. Do I have a second, please?
Crean second.
Thank you, David. We will now take a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim is excused. Eric?
Aye.
Great. Next is 3.5, the President's Report on Strategic Planning.
Yes, my report will be short because today we have a presentation, as you recall. We had it in the fall, I believe, scheduled, and for some reason we had to postpone it. So I want to give plenty of time for that parent-school connection. Just sharing that we had our spring retreat last week, and it was awesome. It was absolutely extraordinary. All the departments reported back in detail with data on the initiatives that were part of their work plan. So the champions came before everybody else, all the other champions, and reported where they were at this point in time. Very important to do that mid-year. Tim is the one that handles that over that process. And so many good things coming forward and lots of planning still to be done. The senior staff, along with a couple of other people, have been working on a reaffirmation of our overarching goals and looking at how these initiatives feed into a goal. When there's an initiative written for our work plan, it has to correlate to one of the overarching goals. So we've been talking about that. We're looking for the fall, maybe late fall, that we'll be able to enact or implement our CTC. That is the aspect of our Altus University where we're going to be able to help teachers complete their preliminary credentials for free. We're not charging our own people to do that. And we will continue to develop the university level of our school within a school. So Altus University is branching out. Certainly it handles the professional development for all segments of our workforce at a very high standard. I hate calling it professional development because seems to me it's beyond that, but that's what it is. It's a professional development. It helps bring people no matter what job they have, toward mastery. But then there'll be this aspect of Altus University where it will truly be a university. And, you know, I'm a dreamer. I'm thinking forward about having a dean and having as much developing as much as we can to make available to our teachers. Sometimes teachers are interested in moving into special ed or, you know, different aspects of their art. And so that's a very exciting thing that's happening. We have 9 career tracks going right now. And one of these days we might just present those to you. I think you've kind of, you know, kept abreast of what we offer, but how we offer it is really wonderful. And we're making such tremendous progress that this mode isn't new, but I think we're doing kind of a better job of it than I've seen around. Certainly we have classes that are articulated with our community college, but our dual enrollment has taken on new life. Years past, the community colleges were kind of downplaying the dual enrollment, but now they're in a place where most are working very closely with us. And we are making dual enrollment classes and articulated classes available to everyone. So it isn't like, you know, there's a certain group within the school that are eligible for consideration. All our students are eligible for consideration, and our teachers are so on top of it. They are so on top of it. They help the students through it, and the dialogue that happens between many of the community colleges and the students and the teachers is excellent, because it helps them move along. They know when things are due, and they know what is happening with the student, so they don't just go off into a dark hole somewhere to fend for themselves. We're working with them. So that's just a sampling of some of the many exciting things that are happening. Next year, we're celebrating 30 years of existence. The actual charter was granted in 1993, but it became implemented as part of what we do and was operationalized in 1994. So we chose that date for celebration. We've brought on a consultant who will help us. Our goal is simply to share. It's not really an enrollment effort. It's nothing more than to celebrate all the wonderful people that have helped us be where we're at now after 30 years. And so that's what this celebration is going to be about. We're not looking for a single event or anything like that. You know, no rubber chicken, no banquets, nothing like that, but rather a real effort to get the information out. And we'll be talking to you more as a board about how we want to do that. That's it for me, I think. We're very busy over the next few months. Certainly our testing's coming up. We've got people going to a couple of conferences, CCSA and Eric Premack's conference. We've got people going back to Washington to share what's going on. And as I said, I'm excited to do a TED Talk. I have to tell you this one last story. The TED Talk is on innovation, and I bought Girl Scout cookies. Don't we all buy Girl Scout cookies? If you buy Girl Scout cookies and you buy the little lemon tea cookies, they have words printed on the cookies, and they, you know, like happy or I'm a leader, or, you know, positive things. I was eating a lemon cookie and I put it in my mouth and I said, wait a minute, what did that cookie say? But it was too late. I'd already eaten it. So I ran out and bought some more lemon cookies, lots of them. And I went through them, and sure enough, there is a cookie that says, I am an innovator. So we can't get around it. Everybody expects it. Everybody's using innovation. Innovation is another way of saying rapid change, and we're participating in it. So it's very exciting. I have to say, this is one of the most exciting years we've had. Lots of great things happening with so many great people. Okay, enough of me. Let's go. Tim, you want to introduce our speaker? Tell them a little bit about Elizabeth and what we're doing with, and she'll go right into Parent Square presentation.
Sure. Elizabeth Short is our instructional technology coordinator. She really helps us a lot in terms of bringing on and helping to facilitate current instructional technologies. She's been a classroom assistant, a teacher, a learning lead for CSSD, and has been in this technology role full-time for about 4 or 5 years now. So she had this vision of bringing on Parent Square a few years back, where we can really communicate well with our parents in a kind of a easier format that was kind of brought it all into one central house under the control of a Parent Square program. So I will turn it over to her to talk about everything relating to Parent Square. Elizabeth.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate the time to share about Parent Square. So let me go ahead and share my screen. And prepared a short presentation for you on Parent Square, which is our new school-to-home communication platform. So I'm going to go over quickly just some of the background and context of why we brought on Parent Square, why Parent Square was chosen. I'll highlight some of the user roles and permissions, give you a quick overview of the platform, and then review our implementation timeline as we're in year one of implementation. Okay, so just some context. As Mary mentioned earlier, we are very aware of data. We use data to make decisions. And so over the past few years since I stepped into this role as technology integration coordinator, part of what I do is survey our instructional and office staff annually. And through this survey, I was really interested in how our instructional staff communicates with our parents and students. And so you can see we've been monitoring some trends over the past few years about what type of communication is most effective with our families. You can see, not surprisingly, the increase in text messaging and the decrease in traditional phone calls, right? So what that told me is how our families and our students, how they like to receive information has changed. They're receiving it on their phones. They like to read as opposed to speaking, right? So you can see that consistent trend. And then I also surveyed instructional staff on their experience with the most effective communication method when working with parents and families. And so our teachers, our counselors, our education specialists, they text, email, and phone call daily. So that's happening. But what they found and what they told us is that text messaging was the most or is the most effective method when getting in touch with our families. So again, just reinforcing that families are on their phones. They like to read information and that's the preferred method. So we wanna listen to our educational partners in that way and make sure that we're getting information out to them effectively and in the method that they prefer. So that's just a little bit of background and context of why we started researching and looking into different communication platforms to support our staff in communicating. So we know how our families like to receive information, but I wanted to quickly share with you what type of information is even being sent out. Right? So all of our departments, they're notifying families and students throughout the year. You can see here just some examples, but what I really want you to focus on is our instructional staff, so our teachers. The amount of communication that goes out daily, weekly, monthly, right? It's a lot. And before having a centralized platform, this information was being sent out through email mostly. And you can imagine the amount of time that took to compose an email, to send it out, to not really know whether or not it's being read or received. And just the sheer amount of time, right? Of having to send this out. And it really, really seemed like an opportunity for us to improve that process and to make sure that our other departments, right? Our quality and performance and data and assessment department, our SSC, our SPED department, that they're able to communicate directly with families as well. Because a lot of this information was passed on to teachers to pass on to students and families. So we wanted to create a way, an avenue for all of our staff to be able to communicate with our students and families. So that led us to Parent Square. As Tim mentioned earlier, I've been circling Parent Square for several years. And what really drew us to Parent Square is it's one centralized tool. Right? So Tim mentioned, and he's correct, it brings everything under one house. It's a two-way parent engagement tool. So parents and students are able to receive information, interact with it, right? So they're able to like, appreciate posts, they're able to ask questions. It's that immediate two-way engagement. It integrates with our school pathways student information system, which is really important because that means that we can trust and verify the contact information is valid, right? Our student information system is our single source of truth. So all of the phone numbers, emails that live in our student information system are automatically populated in ParentSquare, which also eliminates the need for teachers or instructional staff to maintain rosters or contact information. It all happens automatically in a nightly sync. It's really great because there are quick translation tools available within ParentSquare. So ParentSquare can see from the information in our student information system, SIS, whether or not the family prefers Spanish as their home language. So they'll take that English message and automatically translate it into the parents' or students' preferred language. So ensure that all of our families are receiving the same information and are able to communicate with us. Families can receive this information via text, email. There is an app available. So again, knowing that families and students are living on their phones, right? That's where they get the information. There is an app available. And then also voice calls. What was really, really important to us and what we didn't, what we wanted to improve upon was our security, oversight, and analytics. We do love data. This platform provides us with the data we need about what type of information is being well received, how many messages are being opened. We have the controls over our security as far as who can communicate what and to whom. So we just really needed and appreciated the level of oversight that we're able to have with ParentSquare. So quickly, you can see part of the initial setup of ParentSquare was identifying who can communicate with our students and families and what they can view as well. I won't belabor this. A lot went in through the leadership team and identifying specific roles of who's responsible for communicating certain types of messages. So now we're able to do that through ParentSquare. This is just an example of what can go out. So previously, a beautiful family learning series flyer would be created. It would be passed on to teachers. Teachers were then asked to share it with their students and their families. And usually that was done through email as an attachment. Now with ParentSquare, you can see it, they can see it either on the desktop view or on their phones. It's a much more dynamic post. So visually it's much more appealing. And what's really fantastic is this is being sent out by our curriculum and professional development administrator directly to them, right? So if they have questions, they're able to communicate with her directly. This is removing the burden from teachers to be the sole providers of this information. And we're able to blast it out in one click to all students and families. So much more time efficient and again, visually appealing. It's in a format that students and families are already used to. And again, they can like the post, they can ask questions on the post. Really happy with it. This is where we really geek out, right? With every single post, we're able to dive in and really see message delivery statistics. So with every communication that goes out, we're able to see how successful it was. So how many people are viewing it, how they're accessing it, whether they're getting it through text, email, or through the app. We're able to monitor who is opening these messages. So if there's important things that need to go out to specific rosters or families, we're able to ensure that they are receiving it and opening it, and then follow up if they're not. Here you go. It breaks it all down for you. It's really nice dashboard. Here's an overview of the platform so you're kind of familiar what it looks like. So families can access it on their mobile phones. There's a desktop version. They get text notifications and email and push notifications through the app. Families and students and teachers, everyone has the same view, which is really helpful when you're trying to help people navigate the platform, right? It was a really easy thing to roll out and train people on because everyone has the same view. So there's three main components of our Parent Square platform, which is the main news feed, which you can see next in the middle. The navigation on the left allows you to jump from posts, which think of it as a social media type feel, right? Similar to Facebook, where you see all of the posts that are relevant to you in the order that they are posted. You can dive into direct messages and then also see alerts, notices, calendar. And then on the right-hand side, there is your toggle view where you can filter down to specific groups that you're a part of or see the whole school view, depending on your permissions. We communicate through Parent Square in three different ways, through posts, direct messages, and alerts. Posts are our mass communication tool, so they're good for the whole school, whole region, whole roster, so large groups of people who need to receive the same information. That's what we use posts for. Direct messages allow us to do just that, directly message specific people. And so good for one-on-one communication or small group. So think of maybe a teacher, case manager, a student, and their parent all talking about IEP goals. This can be done within the platform through a direct messaging system. And then alerts, that would be our emergency alert system. So if there's a school closure or some other type of school emergency, we can blast out information to everyone with one click, and everyone will receive it via text, phone call, and app notification. We have a really detailed admin overview. So specific members of the leadership team and supervisors have a bird's eye view of what's going on at their school as far as the number of posts, number of alerts, how many parents are engaged with the content, how many students, et cetera. So again, that data piece is really important. Our school calendar is available to all families, and this is really exciting because they can connect it with their own personal calendars very quickly. So that means all deadlines, all school holidays, all events, they can quickly grab from our Parent Square calendar and have them on their own calendars. Here's our implementation timeline. So we're in the middle of our first year. There was a lot of back-end work that started in the summer of 2022. Training happened in August, and we have just been continuously visiting Parent Square, training teachers, staff on how to use it. We're talking about it at all of our meetings. And then at the end of the year, we will obviously send out another survey to gather that feedback from our staff and make decisions moving forward about how we can increase our usage, enhance the product. But really excited about Parent Square and have received really good feedback so far. So that's what I have for you. Very quick overview of our new school-to-home communications platform. I'm happy to answer any questions. But again, thank you so much for the time and the faith in me and this system.
May I just add, thank you, Elizabeth. Just super work on this, honestly. Elizabeth works under operations, and it was a new position that we just invented. And we invented a little while ago. And what a brilliant thing we did to actually bring the operations technology aspect connected to the classroom in many different ways. Parent Square, we didn't invent. It's not original, and there's other schools that use Parent Square. However, I believe that the way it's implemented here is way far beyond how other people utilize this tool. It's very thorough and it relies heavily. I mean, you can have this in place and nobody ever looks at the data to see what the engagement is ever. But we have people that do that and that help refine how our message goes out. If you recall, and this is changing, this is where if you refer to Charter Storm, we talk about the genie out of the bottle there. Parents all of a sudden get it, that they are entitled to information. used to be this big wall around the traditional school where it was very hard for parents to get in and dialogue about things that were important to them and important to the students, but which, you know, the district and their schedule may not put on a high priority. This certainly breaks up all those barriers. And one of the largest barriers that I love is the automatic translation. So, you know, we have 52 at least languages out there, and this helps us with that. So thank you for sharing that, Elizabeth. Are there any questions from the board? We'd be happy to answer them or suggestions.
No, thank you very much. There is one question. In the effort that you utilize to contact parents and such, when you offer those opportunities, do you actually connect via Zoom for any of the education pieces?
Yes, so Zoom was another platform program that we brought on this year based on staff feedback. We learned through staff feedback that Zoom was the preferred method for video communication with students, families, people outside the organization. So while we maintain Microsoft Teams for our internal video communications, Zoom is now available for our instructional staff to connect with students and families. And so we now have both. So Zoom doesn't integrate with ParentSquare, but we would use ParentSquare to set up meetings, to reach out, share links. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And then the other question was, when you do your survey again, are you choosing to also reach out to a number of parents to make sure that you complete the loop when it comes to the viability and operation of the effort? So are parents satisfied with what you're getting? Are there suggestions from parents as opposed to just the teachers?
Absolutely. So that is on our implementation plan. I'm very interested to hear parent and student feedback since this is our first year and we haven't really had anything like this before. So I can love it, but if parents and students don't like it, then it's gone, right? We need to listen to their voice. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And that's definitely data that we'll be collecting at the end of the year. And I'd be happy to share it once it comes in.
Yeah, it's a great step forward. My grandchildren go to a charter school here, and they use a tool very similar. And I can tell you that my oldest grandson's mother is very much involved because he tends to be lazy in how he wants to do his homework as opposed to what he's expected to do with homework. So this tool has basically changed the way he is now helped at home to satisfy. And last semester, he was on the AON. So it's a big deal when parents are involved, and obviously students do what they're supposed to do. So I applaud you for trying to figure out how to get there from here, increase the number of successes.
Elizabeth, if I could add, I've used this program with the school I was at, and it's works great, and it's nice to see you using it and implementing it, you know, so it was widespread, and it's just it's a great way for parents to become more involved with what's happening at the school. If it hasn't been done so, I'd suggest you put something out about a governance parent representative position to all the parents. It might, if it hasn't been done already, it would get sure get more, well, hopefully we get a parent involved.
Sure I do.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Wonderful, wonderful presentation. I just have one thing to add as a last part of the president's report. We're a little challenged in trying to meet some of the timelines. New compliance and regs come down from the state. Some things improved by the board. In the past, I was able to ratify many of them. I still could, but some of them we'd really like to get the board's approval rather than a ratification later. So there may be these short, very short meetings coming on, not every week or anything like that, but just wanted to alert you to April 27th. We may be coming back to you. We'll define exactly what day and time, but the DAS approval for SSP is due then. And that's very, very important to us because it identifies the fact that we have a very unique design that is incompatible with much of the data that the state collects in their for their traditional schools. So wisely, they have the DAS status, which our schools are all fall into the DAS status. And so, but that data before we send it in needs approval. So we may be coming back to you for that. Also, there's no law that requires it, but some of the documents that you're going to approve today, financial documents and at other times, require your approval. And we try to get them first, but sometimes our and incidentally, we did last year go back and review when we anticipated that that data would be due at the state that we knew, but the district can vary when they want it, or the county. So that's a challenge because I need to have the data and the whole package early enough so that I can review it and approve it before it goes out to the board, so they have the opportunity to review it and examine it prior to the board meeting. And so we try very hard, or our staff tries very hard to get that all to work so we have it in a neat package by the time it goes to the board. Going forward, we're going to look at what we can do, how we can, if we can better figure out when the meetings ought to be. And so before we propose some dates in June to approve for next year's board meetings, we're going to try and do that. We tried last year and we're going to continue trying, but there may be some times where we can't anticipate and there may be no rhyme or reason to when the deadline dates are set for us. So just to let you know that behind the scenes, there is a great deal of effort that's going into having the package to you in a time that jives with the meeting and with the approval. That's all from us. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support and your interest.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mary. And that's interesting. I think we can certainly have a conversation amongst the board members as to how to approach this if we need to. I think I speak for others who have also expressed, I don't have a problem with a short meeting to get certain things done outside of the regular schedule, as long as we're given enough time to do so. So it makes it easier for you not to have to worry about cramming those items into just those scheduled meetings, but we can certainly schedule shorter meetings to accommodate your need to get those things done on time and approved by the board prior to submission, because I think that also is a very important part. Having experienced some of the things we've done over the last couple of years, that the board have approval before the submission and not after, then it takes away that question as to whether or not the board is actually involved in the decision-making process as opposed to just the approval of the effort. Right. So I think we've been doing it
the other way for years and years and years, and that was, with my approval. But as we go forward, we want to absolutely be as sensitive as possible to any questions that might arise in terms of being compliant with the constantly new regs that come down. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item 3 points. And Elizabeth, thank you very much for the effort and presentation was spot on. I really do appreciate all your hard work in getting this all put together. Strategic plan update, 3.61 is the Odeo Charter Schools and 3.62 is the Charter Schools of San Diego. And Tim, if you would give us an update on those two items.
Yes, thank you, Admiral Herring. On pages 31 through 46 of your board packet, you will find the participation reports for both Odeo Charter School and Charter School San Diego for the month starting September 19, 2022 through January 6, 2023. And this measures the work product and the engagement of our students, which ultimately are reported as attendance at both those schools for those learning periods. Our goal, our regulatory goal with our authorizer and our MOU for renewal is 84% is our goal. So anything above that is meeting expectation. And Adeo is doing very well at 95.1% participation rate as a school based upon enrollment, which is an increase of 1.5% over the 21-22 school year. So they're coming off very strong. Adeo is right behind them, or Charter School San Diego is behind them at 89.5%, which is about where they were last year. So both schools are exceeding the regulatory goal of 84%, and Adeo is really doing quite outstanding at 95.1%. So they have the regions in the resource center reports are embedded in the board packets as well too, and I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Mary, are there any other comments you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
I would like to say that I applaud the organization, especially the teachers. If you are not successful in doing what you're doing, I think we'd be experiencing the numbers that the public schools are experiencing. And you are exceeding expectations, not meeting expectations, and there's a big difference. So congratulations to you all. Keep up the good work. It is about the student. It's not about the other stuff, but keeping them in the classroom, and they're obviously wanting to learn because of the way you are providing them the knowledge-based effort. So good job. All right. Moving on. 4.0 consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine. It will be approved or enacted by the board in one motion in the form listed below. Unless specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda, there will be no discussion of the items prior to the board's vote on them. As president, I recommend the approval of the consent agenda items. Do I have a motion for approval of consent agenda items 4.1.1 through 4.1.5.2?
So moved. Len.
Very well, thank you. May I have a second?
Second, Barton.
Thank you, Eric. We will now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Oops. The page just disappeared. Action items for the Adeo Charter School can consider approval for the second interim report 2022-2023 when they have an update on 5.1.1.
Thank you, Admiral Herring. First and foremost, I'd like to express a thank you to Board Member David Green, who took his time to review with me the financial reports before you for approval. On agenda item 5.1.1, these are shown on pages 212 to 215. Charters are mandated to file two financial interim reports during the fiscal year so that it can shows and validate the financial health of the school. The first interim report, they are called the first interim report and the second interim reports. The first interim report is from financial activities from July 1st to October 31st. And the second interim report covers the period of July 1st to January 31st. The interim reports compares the current fiscal year 22-23 budget items versus the second interim aggregate totals for revenues, your expenditures, your excess or the deficiencies between revenues and expenditures, and the net fund balance. The school reviews the report for budget variance analysis between the budget and the actual amounts. And if the variance is 10% or more, the school has to provide an explanation of change to the district. San Diego Unified School District requires us to do that. The other authorizers doesn't. Per ODEO's second interim report, the projected ending fund balance is $5.842 million as indicated on the report, which means that the school or ODEO charter school is in good financial health and can meet its final obligations, its financial obligations, I should say. Thank you.
Very good. Mary, is there anything you'd like to add?
No. Not at all. Thank you. I'd like to also say thank you to David Crean. We hope he'll stick with us. And it's always good to have some insight and expertise. So thank you, David.
You're welcome.
I too want to thank you, David. It brings a new level of attention from the board to efforts so that we have the expertise that allows us to be assured. So thank you for your time and that expertise.
The board and staff are aware David Crean is truly a financial expert. He's a little genius. So we're lucky to have somebody like that.
They're very kind.
That's true. You know it.
It's always good to know that there's a second set of eyes and everybody's comfortable with what's going on. Do I have a motion to approve item 5.1.1 with a recommendation, with any other further recommendations?
Motion to approve.
Very well. Any discussion? Do I have a second?
Second, Bart.
Thank you, Bart. We will conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Item 5.1.2 is a review of February revised operational budget assumptions for FY 2022. Consider approval of February revised operational budget FY 22-23. Lynn, may we have a staff report for 5.1.2?
Yes, thank you, sir. Item 5.1.2, the budget assumptions are shown from pages 216 to 223. Indicates that the basis of the development of the budget. It is very comprehensive. The assumptions provides you information as to how the non-classroom based charter school or independent study program such as us is funded and how average daily attendance is earned and the funding rates per grade level. The revenue projections table are also shown. The description of the special funding, as well as the one-time special funding received for this year, the number of the full-time equivalent positions, as well as the health benefits. ODEO Charter School's February revised operational budget is based upon an estimated P2ADA of 409 and the enrollment projections of 449. The total projected revenue is 7.448 million. And of the 7.448 million, 1.125 represents the one-time special funding for this fiscal year, which equates to about 15% of the total revenue of the school. So that's pretty good that we receive 15% one-time special funding for this fiscal year. The total revenue is comprised of 80% for the LCFF and the other state revenues. About 6% is represented for federal revenues. 13% is for other financing resources, and 1% is for local revenue. The revenues include budget. As I have said, there's a one-time special funding, which is shown on your budget assumptions, pages 218 to 221. The projected expenditures for this operational budget is 7.225 million, which is comprised of the total payroll and benefits at 4.875 million. This is about 65% of the total revenues. The books and supplies are $210,659, which represent 3% of the total revenue. We allocate services and other operating expenditures, which is at $1.898 million. That's about 26% of the total revenues. Capital outlay is also capital outlay is also budgeted at $239,632. Reserve of 3% of the total revenues in the amount of $223,456 has been allocated for operational reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thus, we are presenting to the board a balanced operational budget. Also, note that the school has allocated a budget of $18,500 for research and development support works directed toward innovation, introduction, and improvement necessary for the school, for the support of the school consistent with the SSP's mission and purpose. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for all that hard work. It did take a while to get through all of that, matching numbers and figuring out where some of that stuff was coming from. I'm glad we've got you to straighten this all out. Mary, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Nothing to add. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Do I have a motion for the approval of 5.1.2?
A motion to approve. This is Green.
Very good. Any further discussion? May I have a second?
Second, Schweinfurter.
Very well. We will conduct the voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Action items for the Charter Schools of San Diego. Consider approval for the second interim report 2022-2023. Glenn, if we can have a report, please, on 5.2.1.
Thank you, Admiral Herring. Item 5.2.1 is the Charter School of San Diego's interim financial report that is shown on pages 227 to 230 of the board packet. It shows that the projected ending fund balance is at $37.779 million, which, again, the school is in good financial health and can meet its financial obligation. Thank you.
That's good. I tell you, with everything I'm hearing about the public school education funding and its end state at current, I applaud you all for being in the position that you are. It's pretty amazing. Mary, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Just as in response to your comment just now, we're trying to be very cautious because although there's been a tremendous amount of funding for all schools over the course of last year, we can't anticipate that that's going to continue. And we spend a lot of time, as you know, particularly with my Vistage group, we spend a lot of time looking into what the future might look like. Sometimes it looks optimistic, sometimes it doesn't. Right now, California looks like they may have, they may be in the red going forward, several billion dollars. So we can't always anticipate. There may be deferrals, there may be people are always talking about a cliff. We don't know. So we try to be conservative in our actions going forward, even in good times. That's when you need to be cautious about what might come forward. Sustainability of the school, number one. And certainly all the staff, think about it, all of the staff, their families, their children, well, not to speak of the students, of course, but I mean, in terms of their well-being, we are responsible for that. So we try to be very, very cautious, and the finance department has really got a good handle on moving forward conservatively.
And that's a smart thing to do. Be responsible to the structure and the organization, and you'll survive. if you're frugal and conservative, you'll win. Okay. Do I have a motion for the approval of 5.2.1?
So moved, Barton.
Crean second. Crean second.
Any further discussion? Very well. We'll conduct a roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Review item 5.2.2, review the February revised operational budget assumptions for FY22-23. Consider approval of February revised operational budget FY22-23. Lynn, is there a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, sir. Item 5.2.2, shown on pages 231 to 241 of the board packet. The Charter School of San Diego February revised operational budget is based upon an estimated P2 ADA of 1,565 and enrollment projections of 1,630. The total projected revenue is $27.582 million, and this is comprised of 82% for LCFF and our other state revenues, 7% for federal revenues, 10% for other financing resources, and 1% for local revenue. It also includes a one-time special funding that are listed in the budget assumptions shown on pages 233 to 235. The total one-time funding is $4.235 million, which represents about 15% of the budgeted total revenues. The projected expenditures is at $26.754 million, which comprise of the total payroll and benefits at $19.168 million. This represents about, our payroll represents about 70% of the total revenue. The books and supplies is budgeted at $632,899. It's about 2.29% of the total revenue. The services and other operating expenses is at $5.895 million, which represents about 21%. The capital outlay also is budgeted for $1.05 million, about 4% of the revenue, and also a reserve of 3% of the total revenues is budgeted in the amount of $827,451. These are reserves for operational reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. All these amounts presented before you presents a very balanced budget. Please note that the school has also allocated a budget of $60,750 for research and development. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Mary, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Again, great report, and wonderful to find ourselves in this position. Do I have a motion for approval of 5.2.2?
Motion to approve.
Any discussion? May I have a second?
Second, Schweinfurter.
Very well, thank you, Eric. We'll now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Next is 6.0, board announcements and comments. From time to time, the board has topics of interest that they would like to share with the community. These are informational in nature, do not require action. Are there any board announcements or comments from any members of the board or senior staff?
I wanted to make a comment on one of the consent agenda items, the WASC self-study, and how impressed I was with it gives a really good explanation of the strategic planning process, as well as the action plan followed, you know, the progress report, as well as the action plan it's a long process to do the WASC accreditation. And I can't say I enjoyed reading it because I've gone through so many of them myself, but it was well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's it's impressive to see how much detail is put into the process up front. So same, I applaud. It was something I had to go back to a couple of times. I couldn't read through it all one shot. But there was a lot there, and obviously a lot that deserves credit to everyone involved in putting something that complex together for everyone to be able to participate in. Anything else?
That in the past, our schools have received a six-year clear, which we hope we get a six-year clear. But Tim, what was it you were telling me? What was the percent of school in California that get a six-year clear?
About 20% get that highest level of accreditation.
So, knock on wood, we hope they're as impressed as you were.
Okay. The next regular board meeting will be held on Thursday, June the 22nd at 4:30 p.m. Please note that board meeting will be held in the afternoon and not in the morning. Please make sure you adjust your calendars accordingly. Moving on, is item 7.0, adjournment.
Just want to remind you, Admiral, about graduation. And you'll be getting information about attending graduation if you choose to do so. Scott was nice enough to make some recommendations. So we'll have a tarp over the stage this time. I know that it's very warm when you have all the black gowns and everything and on standing on a black floor. It was very warm. So we're going to have a tarp. So don't let the heat necessarily keep you away. The audience has trees and places where they can go, but we're kind of middle. So that'll be coming forward. And as I said, we're going to be very busy between then and now. We've got the WASP visitation. We've got our annual visit from the district. And it just, the fun never stops. We just got lots coming on.
Life in general.
Really? Thank you.
Okay. Item 7.0. Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved, Barton.
Okay, any discussion? May I have a second?
Green, second.
Very well. Roll call, myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim is excused, and Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Again, thank you, everyone, for your time, for your efforts, and for your dedication. I appreciate it. It's well appreciated by all.
Thank you.
Have a good day.